I am very excited right now to be joined by Mia Freeman. She's an editor, journalist, columnist, author, blogger, and podcaster. I don't even think I got all your titles in one sentence. And of course, the founder of the wildly popular site Mamma Mia. But right now she's joining me to talk about her brand new book, Work Strife Balance. Good morning, Mia.
Good morning, Carly. Nice to be with you.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about this book with you because I actually got a chance to read the book. And I got to tell you, Mia, I did that thing where I highlighted, I nodded, I smiled.
Oh, I'm so glad that you say that because it's a different book for me. I've written a couple of books before, but they were more sort of written for myself. Like, I think a lot of memoirs can be like that, where as a writer, I know that writing things help me process them. But I wanted to write this book. You know, I'm 45 now and I've been in the media for 25 years and I've been a parent for 20 years and I've been a woman for 45 years. And I've learnt so many things, the hard way mostly. And I wanted to write this book for other women. I wanted it to be the book I wish I could have read in my 20s and 30s and 40s.
What I love about this book, Mia, is the fact that when a successful person like yourself writes a book, you read it to kind of recreate that for yourself. But what you've done is kind of the opposite. You haven't written this formula to success. You've just kept it real.
Because there is no formula. And I think that's the thing. We all kind of ask, as women, we ask each other, how do you do it? And I don't know how she does it. And what's your secret to work-life balance? And they're actually, unfortunately, isn't one, or fortunately, because we're kind of led to believe that there is some secret formula and we're just getting it wrong, and if only we knew what it was. The truth is that there's a million different paths through life. There really are. And we all take different paths on different days, sometimes in different hours. And that's why this idea of having work-life balance is about as attainable and possible as having a thigh gap. I mean, it's just not realistic for most women.
Well, speaking about those different paths, you speak about all your paths from abortion. You're very candid about motherhood as well, which I actually found really refreshing because we do have this myth of being the perfect mother and holding on to this successful career. And you even went as far as to let your son Luca write a chapter in the book. What inspired that?
A looming deadline and not wanting to write all the stuff for myself. No. Well, yes. But also, I thought, you know, I've read so many books about from women talking about parenting, but I haven't read many books from young people talking about what their parents got right and what their parents got wrong. And a lot of people have said that reading Luca's chapter has taught them a lot about parenting, mostly what not to do. But it was hard to read for me when he first gave me the chapter. I was really emotional because I was enormously proud of him and proud of the man that he's become and the writer that he is. But also, it was confronting because I've made mistakes, like we all do, and I didn't realise the impact that some of them had on him. And, you know, I don't want to overstate it. We all do our best. I mean, there's a lot of beating up of ourselves that we do as mothers in particular. But it was just really insightful for me to read his perspective on parenting and what was important for him.
Were you worried, Mia, about him putting some of those things out there? I mean, look, I'll be honest, I read the chapter. It's not that scandalous, but I don't know what it is about the media, but they love to crucify mothers for any decision they make. So were you a little bit self-conscious about having that out there, or were you like, no, this just needs to be said?
You know, so much of what I do and so much of the reason that I started Mamma Mia was to make women and girls feel better about themselves and their lives. And a lot of that is about not just showing the pretty parts. You know, I think that we spend a lot of time comparing ourselves to the sort of curated, airbrushed, perfect images and lives that we see on social media of other people. And people are very good, and we're very good in society at sharing the high points and the successes. But the failures and the difficult parts and the flaws and the struggles, we tend to keep those behind closed doors. And I understand why. And I'm not saying that everyone should put them out there all the time. But if anyone feels able to do that, and I feel able to do that, I feel strong enough to do it, I feel confident enough that my kids are okay and that I'm not a bad mother, I feel able to put it out there and knowing that I'm going to be called a bad mother, knowing that people are going to be, oh, she did this and she didn't do that and that's really bad. I get that. And I'm fine with it because the only people whose opinions I care about in terms of whether I'm a good mother or not are the opinions of my three children. And they know my strengths and they also know my weaknesses. I mean, we all know our parents' weaknesses, don't we? And, you know, we hope that our kids will be forgiving. And as they get older, I think my son is now at the age stage where he can see me as a person, not just as a mother. He can see me as a sort of a 360-degree human.
Yeah.
And he doesn't expect me to be perfect. So I did know that it was going to have a backlash, but I was comfortable with that because I wanted to help and support other women who feel bad about their parenting.
And you touched on it briefly there about this strength of standing up, but there's been moments, Mia, where I don't know why. Maybe it is because you're female. I will play the female card with this one.
Mm.
You're called polarizing all the time and then strong female. And then people also use these as negative things as well when it comes to you. How do you find that strength to just really stand up for yourself? Because I'll be honest, I think we all have those moments of self-doubt, but I kind of love that you can be really unwavering sometimes, even in the face of public opinion.
Oh, I have self-doubt all the time. I mean, I've got it right now. I've got it every day. I think most women, most people who care about what they're doing do have self-doubt. I think the people who think that they're amazing are pretty scary people. I try to detach myself from too much feedback. Like, I don't read my mentions on Twitter. I try to stay off Twitter. And that's because I don't think that it's healthy to read the good stuff about you or the bad stuff. And I think that all opinions aren't the same. Not all opinions are considered equal. So that's not to say that I don't appreciate feedback about what I do, but feedback from everyone isn't the same. So my kids' opinions about my parenting is really important to me. But the opinion of some stranger on the internet who's going to call me a bad mother because I forgot to pack my kids' lunch one day, I genuinely don't care. I used to care a lot more, and I used to be very much, if only I can explain to them my side of the story, if only I can just explain and then set them straight, then they'll understand. And then I realised, I don't know, it took me about 20 years to realise this, that a lot of people don't want to hear your side of the story. A lot of people don't, they're very heavily invested in believing a bad thing about me. And that's okay. And the other thing I think is funny is that people will often say to me, as a disclaimer, you know, I don't agree with everything that you say. They'll often say something nice. And I'm just like, there is no one in the world with whom I agree with everything they say. Like, not my husband, not my children, not my parents, not my best friends, not even myself. So, you know, I think this idea that we have to agree with someone about everything to consider them, to like them or to agree with them about one thing, I just think that's a little bit limiting and restrictive.
Like I said, you went down many different paths in this book. It was all on the table. One thing you spoke about was issues in your marriage. And then I got to the end of the book and I actually found this really inspiring. It was your husband, Jason, that actually was the one that really pushed you to write this book. Was it kind of a little hard for him to read this, or is he like you in the fact that he's like, we've got this story to tell?
Oh no. Well, I'll tell you if it was hard for him to read it, if he ever reads it. So the other day he said, okay, babe, I'm going to read your book. And he sat down and I think he got up to about page 30. I mean, he's lived this book.
Yeah.
And it has been something that he's pushed me to do for years. And I've always been like, I can't give other people advice. I can't tell women what to do. You know, why would anyone want to hear from me? Because of that imposter syndrome and that sense of doubting myself. But he's always been the one that's like, come on, babe, you know, you've got, you know, wisdom to impart. You've got lessons that you've learned. You've got, you know, we call it flirting at Mamma Mia, failing and learning. And I've certainly done a lot of failing. And you learn a lot from the bad things in your life, the things that go wrong. I think you learn a lot from the things that go right. I mean, they're lovely and it's nice to have things go right in your life, of course, but I don't think you come away going, oh, I really learnt a lot from that promotion that I got. It's getting sacked that'll teach you a lot.
Definitely. Well, Mia, you've got so many gems in this book. What is your favourite piece of advice? What have you gone, that was the number one lesson to come out of all your years of experience in the media that you would like to impart on people?
One I'll steal from Sheryl Sandberg in terms of, if you're in your 20s, the most important decision you will make for your career is the partner that you choose. And I would say the same for me. If I didn't have the partner I had, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now. And the other thing is that I have much lower expectations for myself and much higher expectations of everyone around me, including my children, including my husband, than most people. And that makes my life a bit easier. I think as women, we have such high expectations for ourselves. And in most cases, they're impossible. We've got to have a thigh gap. We've got to have work-life balance. We've got to make little sandwiches cut out in the shapes of farmyard animals in our kids' lunch boxes. We've got to quit sugar. We've got to I mean, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And I just think that we got to stop comparing ourselves to other people's highlight reels, realize that we're all just doing our best, and that there are, you know, there's not just one way to be balanced or successful or happy. Everyone is to choose your own adventure experience.
Thank you so much for joining me, Mia.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Carly. I'm so stoked that you like the book. Thank you.